Hello, and welcome to episode 559 of the League Rundown. This is your 2025 LEC Spring Split Week 5 review and LTA North Split 2 Week 4 review. This episode is lovingly entitled, Get In, Bitch! We're going on a road trip. I'm your host, Kangas, and I'm joined by three esteemed co-hosts. Up first, we got Bickle.
Oh God, I hadn't planned this far ahead.
Let's try that again. Okay, you know, I'll give you a count in 3, 2, 1. We got Bickle.
Hi, everybody. I'm back after like a week off. I don't know a consistent schedule anymore.
It's okay. Well, that's why we have we've bolstered the strength of our roster of hosts here, because it's been difficult to get everyone together. But happy to have you on as always. We also have joining us after a swift 2-0 with his team that he's playing on, Badger.
I did not read the title of the episode, so when you said, I did not realize that's where we were going. I mean. Get it, bitch, we're going shopping is just still an iconic line. So, yeah, I feel that.
It is. Although I should change it. I don't think we should have bitch in the search algorithm for the podcast title. So I'm going to change it to be
loser. It should just be loser.
What symbol should we do?
It should just be loser.
Well, I mean, it's get it, loser, we're going shopping is the actual line. Yeah. So.
Oh, is it? I thought
yes.
It
was. No, it's get in, loser, we're going shopping.
Listen, my sister is 10 years older than me. I would know.
Well, you know what? I'm keeping it as is, because I don't want to... I've gotten in trouble for trying to change the episode title after the fact too many times at this point. You've also heard his voice already. We're joined as well by Yanni. Welcome back, Yanni.
Oh, thank you for having me. You know, 2 weeks in a row is kind of crazy.
I know. You also cover a lot of casting of different leagues, so happy to have you on yet again here. But we also are recording a day later than usual. I was a little busy on our Tuesday evening. Also, sorry to everybody who's wondering where last week's episode was. There's just some issues of getting it uploaded. So it was uploaded after games happened. If you want to go check that out, feel free. But at that point, I mean, games had already happened. So you can, you know, judge us in the moment for our bad predictions, because we had some pretty bad predictions last week.
Yeah.
But let's bring things to this past week and what happened. Global news going around here. Yanni, we don't have Mr. Mazelpiel, but you do also cover LPL English. So can you give me kind of high-level spark notes? What's happening in the LPL right now?
Bro, it is crazy. All right, so Weibo Gaming with this star-studded roster of Breathe, Tien, Xiaohu, Light, and Hung replaced
for a
mid laner swapped to support Erha. They were 1-3. They are now 6-4. They have turned their fortunes around. Meanwhile, BLG is a 4-5 in split 2. BLG lost 6 series all of last year, and they lost 5 in this split. It's the same BLG roster that was in the World Finals. It was Bin, Wei, Knight, Elk, and On. It is absolutely mind-boggling that this team is hovering near the bottom. And meanwhile, at the top esports is the most inconsistent 8-1 team we've ever seen. They've played some of the most games. They've played 25 individual games out of 9 series, which is actually crazy. And yet they're 8-1, and anyone's legend is just kind of humming along at 7-2. I think the big story is just BLG is just dropping games to teams like FPX, right? To just touch on Group Nirvana real quick, because this is the cool group where the bottom two teams are eliminated for split 3, and they will not be playing any more games this year.
After the end of split two,
it's confirmed that OMG and RNG, Royal Never Give Up, will be the two teams that will not be coming back for Split 3. So they will play some of their last games, I think, the first week of May.
It's already confirmed?
Yeah, it's already confirmed.
Yeah, the way it falls. Yeah,
that's two crazy legacy orgs.
Absolutely. It's wild, man.
Damn. And it looks like another top esports representing LPL at an international, if they are able to maintain.
God, we hope not.
But yeah, I've been talking a little bit with Emily and Raz about that too, because those two also still follow LPL closely, and they're like, please don't be top esports.
Yeah, for real. So give me AL. Give me anyone's legend. I would love to see them at an international.
Well, they will get two teams at MSI, so we'll see what happens there. Thank you for the LPL update, though. We also have LCK going on, and since we have Bickle and Badger here, we can actually catch up on what's going on in the LCK. Do either of you are super opinionated? Who wants to take it?
Have you ever heard of this team called Nongshim Red Force? You know, the Noodle Boys. The Noodle Boys. Mm-hmm. What if I told you they are third place in the LCK right now, and they just 2-1 to Dom1 last night?
I would not believe you.
Well, unfortunately, that's the case at this point.
Fuck.
The lineup of Kingen, Gideon, Fisher, Jaiwoo, and Lehens is third place in the LCK right now over Dom1 with pretty much the same roster as last year, except Saiwoo in the top lane. And of course, you know, the reigning world champions, T1, like, brother. What is going on?
What can I tell you? Lehens never die.
Lehens never die.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Am I right?
In other news, Hanwha and Gen.G are still really fucking good. So, like, one of those teams is going to... wait, is it one... It's one team per reason. Is it two teams per region at MSI or
two
one?
Teams per
MSI
region
is two teams.
Okay. All right. Never mind. Gen.G and Hanwha are going to represent LCK at MSI this year.
There we go. The only regions that will only have a singular representative is LTA North and South, because technically we're two
conferences. That's right. That's right.
Both of our top seeds will go to represent the LTA. All right, cool. Bickle, any other fun stories in LCK that you want to highlight, or else do you want to cover this next thing? Because we do have some sad news globally as well.
Yep. As for wrapping up the LCK, we've covered a lot of that. T1, after the whole chaos of the Gumayushi smash situation, is back to using Gumayushi AD carry, and as Badger said, currently sits at the middle of the table. It is very much Gen.G and Hanwha Life are just running this region right now.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
But,
yeah. And it's tough, because, like, again, that's such a rough situation for Guma to be in. Do not envy that player for no, the optics right now on the team.
But moving on to, as you mentioned, some sad news. We talked about T1, the current world champions. We have to talk about the original world champions, Season 1 Fnatic. This past week, League of Legends did lose a legend, as world champion Shushe has passed away.
Very young as well. What was he, 36, I believe?
Yeah. Dude, fuck cancer, honestly.
That is very rough. Very sad to see. You know, like you said, historic player. This is well before my time. I've actually never even watched the Season 1 World Championships. At some point, I'll need to go back and watch that. But technically, was the one of the first ones ever. So
go play some AP Alistar mid.
Yeah. Back when you... was that also when you were playing Alistar jungle? Or was that Season 2 and 3?
That was the 2 and 3.
Okay, all right. Either way, it's so funny to think that Alistar was not always the support, but tough to see a legend go. Thoughts go out to Shusui's family and loved ones. So, yeah. Bit of a bummer way to close out that, but we do have one other thing. Maybe good news, could be more bummer news, depending on your thoughts as a Team Liquid fan. It is now reported by Sheep Esports that TL confirmed Yuji on the roster. They're going to be running a six-man roster with Umpty and Yuji both in the jungle. Badger, you are the resident TL fan. Are you excited about this, or are you concerned about this? Where are you landing?
I'm in the camp that I think, unfortunately, we're at the point that I'm past Umpty. I'm really... He's a player that I thought could thrive, and he came over and I was so excited. I thought it was going to be great. He's going to be a great player in the region, and then it's just he hasn't had the performances that we expected for him when he ever since like he came over. I mean,
yeah.
They did make it to Worlds last year. They had one of the best performances, right? Am I mixing years up? The years blend together at this point. They've made it the furthest of all the NA teams, right?
Not at this past year. This past year, that was FlyQuest.
Oh, that's right. That was Fly. Well, okay, yeah. No, the year before it was TL. Okay. Yeah.
And they did well at the one tournament.
The
EWC, yeah.
Yes,
they EWC. Actually almost yes. almost made finals. They yeah, were very
they,
close.
They played T1 to a 3-2 or a 2-1. I can't remember what the
it
format
was.
It was a 2-1,
and they were close to winning it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
And this was like good T1. This was like yeah. not bad T1 right now.
This is a mm-hmm. T1 that went on to win that tournament.
Yes. So...
Yeah, I think that UG should be an upgrade over Umpty. My concern, though, is that that's not the only pain point for TL right now.
Uh-huh.
We'll talk about it more later to in the episode when we cover kind yeah. of how the weekend went. But I got my eyes on Impact as well. Impact is really struggling right now. And that's just
what
not
do you mean?
What you
the guy that started playing in season 2 is struggling in season 15?
Yeah, 15. Oh my god, I didn't even remember what season we were in. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, surprisingly. Maybe not surprisingly, but either way, it does look like he's past his prime very, you know... we'll talk about that later. For now, let's just wrap up the global news, though, because there's one other thing to cover here, and that is fantasy point updates. Shout out to everybody who is in the community fantasy group. I am still running the league right now at first place with 446 points, but behind me we have Pacific still in second place at 434, and a new member hopping into the top three. Shout out to Dave Saves 0707 with 428 points. I will say it right now, though, no one's going to catch me. I have too many points to spend, and from this point on, I can just draft like all C9 members for the rest of time. So good luck, everybody. But if you want to let us know how your fantasy is going, make sure to join our community Discord. A link is in the description wherever you are listening to the podcast. And if you want to help support the pod, we also have a Patreon as well as a merch shop. You can find the links for that in the description as well. With that said, though, let's hop into LTA North Week 4 review. We had the beginning of Best of Threes, thank God. We actually have Fearless back. No more Best of Ones. The positioning phase is over. And we have two different groups of games, or groups of teams, for games to happen each weekend. We got to see Group A and B take to the Rift, and Group A standings, it's C9 and Team Liquid, with one series wins apiece. Disguised and Lion both lost theirs. Whereas Group B, we have FlyQuest and Dignitas, and Shopify Rebellion and 100 Thieves lost theirs. Yeah, my 100 Thieves faith, it's not been paying off. Oh, God.
It's tough. It's tough.
Yeah, it is tough. It's tough. But I'm still hedging my bets where on this podcast I'm predicting against them, and then on broadcast I'm predicting for them.
Boo.
And then on this podcast my prediction rate's actually pretty good. Yeah. Unfortunately, I think that more eyes see the broadcast than ears hear this one, so losing some street cred. But that's beside the point. Let's talk about the games that happened. Kicking things off, Cloud9 still looking like the dominant team in the league. Bickle, I want to hear from you. How did Cloud9's weekend look with their 2-0 over Disguised?
Well, I don't know what anybody expected.
I think they kind of expected what we saw.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's about exactly what we expected.
Yeah.
Hang on.
Yeah.
Disguised in game 2 wasn't
okay,
terrible.
Make the case.
They were fighting back.
So Disguised in game 2 wasn't terrible because Abadage got absolutely massive on this rise, right?
Mm-hmm.
And until 20 minutes, this game was like very competitive. And you were in a position where if Disguised was a better team, they'd have a gold lead, but instead it was even. And then they threw it Otacon. So C9 took over the game. But then C9 counter threw and lost the fight for Soul Point. But then Disguised, they took that and they said, let's go to Baron. And then they threw it Baron. C9 said, okay, we're slamming the door shut.
Yeah.
Right? And Thanatos was insane. Yeah. But, like, you know, I have to, like, give Disguise their flowers in a matchup that we expected to be a non-competitive. They were at least pretty competitive for a large majority of game 2.
I gotta echo that as well. I think that they showed more than more than we expected and pushed Cloud9 way further than we thought they could. And I think that they're riding still some of that momentum from last weekend where they were able to beat TL. And a reminder that this is a disguise that doesn't have a coach. They let go of Mash. I guess we forgot to cover that in global news, but that happened before the weekend. So
oh my God, wait, they're coachless?
They're coachless. They let go of Mash, and I'm hearing that they're also going to be replacing Abadaga in the mid lane at some point. That's the rumor going around, at least. That would also open up an import slot if they wanted to look at either AD carry or jungle, because there's a lot of people on this roster that are underperforming right now, man. But Abadaga,
Scary Jerry can't win with these cats.
Yeah, the sad thing about Abadaga, like, replacing him is that he just had, like, two pretty good games. His Yone game versus Team Liquid was great, and his Ryze game here was, like, okay. Now, keep in mind, he also did, you know, have the Ryze game versus Shopify Rebellion last weekend that was atrocious.
Yeah.
Or, I guess, 2 weekends ago at this point. But... yeah, expect changes to Disguised. They had no coach. It was just the players drafting, and they had their team manager standing in the coach position on stage. But by this coming weekend, they should have some changes confirmed and announced. Yeah.
Excellent.
That's Cloud9. It was a pretty easy start for them. Also in Group A, though, Team Liquid had their match against Lion. And now, Badger, while I did say that Impact looked rough, Team Liquid were still pretty swiftly able to take down the Lions.
I mean, yeah, it's just there's the clear difference. There's the top four teams, and then there's the bottom four teams in the league. It was just kind of exactly what you expect from Liquid versus Lion at this point. I mean, all credit to Lion. Like, this team is fun. Like, it's just a fun group to watch. They Nocturne Xerath is a combo I did not expect to see in an LTA game in 2025.
That was insane. Yan got, like, just decimated every fight, man.
He just couldn't play the game. Like, I mean, the rest of his team was doing all right at that point, but it's just like, hey, yeah, we're just going to send, like, a cruise missile at this one specific person every single fight, and if we kill Yan over and over again, that's our moral victory, guys. Let's do it. Maybe we tilt him for game two, and then game two, that happened, and they looked to be doing all right, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was such a fun thing to watch. I mean, what else do you have to lose at this point if you're one of those bottom four teams? Like, you just kind of go for fun shit. Like, that's,
yeah,
you go for the upset sometimes.
We've heard about the Xerath into Azir in the past. Mm-hmm. It has not actually had a lot of translated success to professional stage games, but apparently in scrims and also in solo queue, it's a big counter. But the bigger thing was, like, yes, they killed Yan over and over again, but they never got onto APA. They never got onto Impact post-laning phase. Impact had a mm-hmm. really bad laning phase, though. His two deaths this game were atrocious. Oh. He has umpty go topside. They get Flash out of Licorice. Impact goes back in solo out of Licorice, dies solo. It's just like fucking up his combo and Licorice being a level up. Then later, he's bot lane and he's like trying to bait Licorice to stick around because he's got people coming to back him up. But he's at like 20% health and Slice and Dices in onto Licorice, who again just like one shots him as Aatrox. Both of those deaths were some of the stupidest deaths I've ever seen in a pro game. And I was like, if that was Fudge, I wouldn't be surprised. It's Impact, though. Like, you do not expect those mistakes. Luckily, he gets a triple kill later in a fight and then is able to get back into the game and, like, has a good game after that. But, whew, that laning phase was tough to watch.
And, like, no offense to Licorice, but, like, you know, Licorice isn't a bad player by any means. But against, like, a top-tier top laner, like, you do not finish the game 8-2-2, Impact. You get put in the dirt for your repeated mistakes.
If that was Thanatos, Lion just wins that game because of how fed Licorice got.
Yeah, without a doubt. And that's what worries me about Team Liquid the most right now is that, mm-hmm. You know, this is a team that we kind of put them and FlyQuest in the same group as, like, these are international hopes because of how well TL is coached and how good FlyQuest's individual players are. And just, like, this is not the Team Liquid that we can, like, confidently send to any international. They will absolutely get rolled. They will have competitive games against teams they should not have competitive games against. And that's my worry heading toward, you know, looking toward like MSI and stuff like that. I'd rather see like FlyQuest and Cloud9 at this point. Cloud9, who you know, we just talked about, they're hot right now. They are smoking right now.
Yeah, Cloud9's looking fantastic. I do want to shout out Lion, though, for bringing out a lot of new picks. We saw multiple first-time picks from them. They went Lucian bot lane with Melio in game two, which was pretty cool. Love game that. One, they also played the Zeri bot lane with the Xerath in the mid lane. So, like, they were pulling out unique picks and trying something new against Team Liquid. I'll credit them there. Team Liquid were just the better team in team fights, which is something that they have been, you know, better than the bottom four teams can consistently with. And I thought it was very funny their draft game too. Team Liquid drafted Galio and Pantheon APA just like always pushes side lanes like one wave too far. But this time it worked because they could just Pantheon Galio ult on top of him.
And he'll just never die. Like, it's fantastic. And yeah, you know, I want to credit Lion as well, because you know, Lion in both games were in there, right? Game one, not so much. Because they had a lead, right? And they just overplayed the sequence. And Team Liquid would just punish them, and the game ended. Like, we stuck around too long in the river. Then we had Audilan just, like, go into TL's jungle and get picked. Mm-hmm. And in the blink of an eye, TL got, like, four kills, and that was it. But, like, if they don't further that play, because they don't need to, it could be a very different game. But then game two, they had a strong mid game with their double AD carries, but APA on his signature Cassiopeia just refused to lose the game.
Yeah, he had a hard carry team fight at the very end. Because, like, Henna Lions kind of fucked up the level 2, or level 1 and level 2 for Lucian Melio. It was electrocute Lucian, and then Core, like, outplayed them level 1. Henna got chunked and just could never stabilize the laning phase again. So that was tough, because, like, if you mess up that early, it's going to be much harder for you to come back. But Licorice really stepped up and was actually doing a lot of damage. This was also the game that, like, Umpty goes for the invade on Adi and, like, just barely kills him in the 1v1 in the jungle. That was, like, a really fun moment to go check out. Busio was actually on the cast with us and mentioned in game one at a point that, like, the biscuits is basically Mundo ult. And Umpty had biscuits in the jungle and, like, used that to stay alive. It was very funny. But yeah, that's a lot of time spent on Team Liquid, Lion, TLDR. Well, I guess it's not TLDR because you already heard all of our breakdown, but Team Liquid were at least good enough to take the win. So props
they won
to
the
them.
Game. That's all that matters.
They won the game of League of Legends. Now in Group B, we have FlyQuest and Dignitas sitting at top of the table. How long do you think that's going to last for? Let's start with FlyQuest. Yanni, talk to me about FlyQuest and how their series looked like against 100 Thieves.
You know, it's really interesting because in game one, it was not looking so hot for them, right? You know, you'll take a look at the score lines afterward and be like, oh, you know, this was one-sided. Not really. River was really, really strong. 100 Thieves had a really nice play 10 minutes into the game. They took 6 grubs. They took the first 2 dragons. They took the Rift Herald. They were absolutely beating FlyQuest like it was nobody's business. BTA Eagles versus Chiefs, right? But then the third dragon came along. And Quad...
Yep.
The better Q mid laner, bro, just shows up, gets that biggest zero, and FlyQuest never looked back. And then in game two, they absolutely shut down Sniper. Dude was a non-factor in the Gnar versus Renekton matchup. Like that's how you do it. That's how you reverse a quote unquote counter matchup, right? You know, because the Bwipo just went crazy that game.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Also, shout out to Masu, who only died one time in the entire series. He went like 12-1-15, I think.
It's a pretty good scoreline.
That sounds right.
Pretty good. Pretty good. We did give player of the series to Bwipo, though, for his impact in team fights. At least I'm pretty sure he's the one that won that. But I think there was a strong argument that Masu just kind of went under the radar in how well he was playing those team fights. So I know some people were like, it should have been Masu. It went to Bwipo. I think both of them had really strong arguments for why it could be. But overall, FlyQuest are looking like the clear favorites of Group B. Group A, surprisingly, even though Cloud9 were first seed going into it, it's like they didn't handle Disguised quite as well as FlyQuest handled 100 Thieves. Yes, game one was like 100 Thieves decimating early, but the fact that FlyQuest were just so like able to win that fight so easily, I think against like a stronger opponent than Disguised is what makes me think the FlyQuest are like maybe still the team to be afraid of in this region as well as especially in their group.
Mm-hmm.
So, my 100 Thieves stocks are losing me a lot of money. I blame the tariffs.
I still think they'll be second place in that group. That's my clearly scorching hot take of the evening is
Damn,
that
you
I think
just pulled that
right.
one right off the stove.
I burnt my hand while I was doing that. You know, I just need to get some ice on it. Then I think 100 Thieves will be all right against Dignitas and Shopify Rebellion. Let me tell you.
You know what? I believe you. I think I actually believe you on that one. Well, let's talk about the other series that happened. Surprisingly, maybe not actually looking at just like the favorites. If it wasn't FlyQuest 100, this was the one that was expected to be closest. And oh my God, was it close. Dignitas versus Shopify Rebellion happened. That was a series this past weekend. I got to cast it, which was a lot of fun.
You lucky dog.
Fun fact. After this best of three series, Shopify Rebellion and Dignitas, like their matchup, is all three of the longest games of the year. And that includes technically an LTA history because we are a new league now. God, this was a mess. Game one, clinic from Shopify Rebellion and Contracts in particular. Contracts had one of the best Nefiri games we've probably ever seen in professional League of Legends. It seems like Nefiri really is turning into the Contracts pick. And he just Shaden couldn't do anything in this game. It was just like a Shopify Rebellion kind of controlling the game from the controlling the pace of the game from the beginning, and not having a lot of mess up moments other than losing first blood to Dig. But then for the rest of the series, oh my God, it got very sloppy. Game two should have been a win. Like that, the series should have been over right there. But freaking Shaden, Kaney, just refusing to lose mid to late game team fights. And I think Isles in particular on the Alistar having like some of the most clutch team fight engages that we've seen in a while. There's one fight around the Baron that he gets like three multi-champ pulverizes in a row. Like he starts it, he gets another one, then he like flashes and gets another one. It's like, oh my God, he's just on cooldown, just like controlling the pace of this fight. So even though Shopify got the earlier lead, they still lost that one. Long barn burner of a game. This one was like 43 minutes.
43 and a half.
And then the last game was 44. It went even longer. And this one was like nothing happening for a really long freaking time until eventually kind of Dignitas's composition just overtook Shopify Rebellion's. And also, oh wait, no, this wasn't the one. It was game two. Game two was the one that Shopify should have been able to close it out, but goddamn fudge. This guy, give this man a breathalyzer. Get this guy a goddamn drug test. He had a Seeker's Arm Guard. They're pushing mid. He just hits Seeker's Arm Guard in mid lane.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, what the hell? Why did he go into stasis? And then it's like, okay, it's fine. He resets, gets the Zhonya's. Maybe it was just for fun. Maybe it was for the memes. Because like, yo, I'm going to waste it. And it doesn't matter because I get the Zhonya's right after. Then they're setting up Baron Vision and he hits Zhonya's. Like, what are you doing, dude? this guy gets paid to play professionally.
Bro, Jensen wish he had those skills.
Oh my God. The first one didn't matter. The second one absolutely did. That he didn't have the Zhonya's for then like controlling the setup and they weren't able to fight. They kind of had to wait a while. That broke me. That one broke me in game.
Yeah. Just fun to watch, honestly. Just a reminder that pro players are human as well. Just
I suppose.
Maybe not that guy.
And maybe Fudge had bets against his own team during this one. You know?
Oh.
Yeah. Hey, you can't prove he didn't. So, I definitely think that that is the, other than Impact's solo deaths that he had and then was able to turn it around, that was the most egregious individual player play that we saw this past weekend. So, Fudge, you got to clean it up, man. His game three on the Scion did not look particularly inspiring either. He had a couple of fights where his target selection was just like really odd. He was just like trying to lock down a Blitzcrank and do other stuff like that that just felt weird. So Dignitas got a win. Let's go, baby.
Can we talk about that third game and how Surdy finally made his mark on an individual game?
Let's talk about it. Surdy went 5-1-5 on the Aatrox. It was incredible, like what he was able to do in lane and then also in team fights. I'm happy that you bring it up.
But yeah, his team fights were crazy, man. That flank TP at the Baron just absolutely put them in front. They're up 8K after that. It's just such a good long TP flank. They have no vision, and he just shows up. But, you know, credit to Shopify, right? They stall out the game, and there's a second Baron coming up, and Surdy gets it done again. He goes through that wall that's, like, right in front of the Baron pit, right near the blue buff. He just goes right through that wall and splits up the fight completely. It gets on the back line. He doesn't immediately get any kills, but he just forces Shopify into full retreat mode because he chunks out some carries. And then Dignitas get a clean ace off of that. Like, that was the best that I have seen Surdy play all year, and I'm really happy that this guy's starting to, you know, maybe not starting to, he's got to do it again, but he finally had a signature game for himself in the LTI.
And it's somebody that we've been hyping up for a while, so it's tough to see how much he's struggled. It feels really good to see him have a great performance. Also, a reminder that this game started. Game 3 started with B-Voy Seos getting 2 kills bot lane because they outplay. B-Voy is able to hit the wave and hit level 2 despite Seos getting like rocket grabbed by Isles on the Blitzcrank. And they don't get another kill for the rest of the game. Like, B-Voy and Seos are just a non-factor for the rest of it. So, yeah. That's crazy. So Dignitas on the board. Shopify Rebellion, unfortunately, still struggling heavily right now. We'll see if they can turn their fortunes around. My series to watch from the weekend is absolutely Dignitas versus Shopify Rebellion. I think it's just from an entertainment standpoint, great gameplay. There's a lot of moments you'll go, what the fuck? Which I always find fun. But do we have any other series that you recommend people check out if they have the time? I feel like it was kind of a one-sided weekend.
It was extremely one-sided.
I think the other one... So, like, here's the problem, right? I actually would say Team Liquid versus Lion for the second one, because even though, like, FlyQuest 100 Thieves game one was, like, went one way and then went the other, I mean, game two, like, FlyQuest just beat the tar out of 100 Thieves. Like, they weren't even close. At least in Team Liquid versus Lion, like, both games were competitive to a point.
Yeah,
like back and forth. Mm-hmm. So if I had to choose a second one, it would be that one. If you want to watch some of the best players in the LTA, pick FlyQuest 100 Thieves. It's okay.
Yeah, game one, FlyQuest 100 Thieves is fun. Game two of C9 DSG, also we talked about, it's kind of fun. So
that one is pretty fun, too.
Check out, too.
Game one is bad. It's you know,
yeah,
because that one was rough. XU had a really, really rough game against really Blabber, who was on Sejuani. I mean, oof.
Clearly out jungled. But that brings us to this coming weekend and predictions. LTA North is going pretty fast here because we only have 4 series a weekend to cover. So predictions are, we have the matchups starting off in Group B, FlyQuest versus Shopify Rebellions. FlyQuest just showed their dominance over 100 Thieves. Shopify Rebellion really struggled against Dignitas. We all have FlyQuest 2-0. I think that kind of speaks for itself. But then going back to Group A, we have Team Liquid Disguised. Now, you all have Team Liquid 2-0. I have Team Liquid 2-1. I actually think that Disguised are good for a game based on what they showed versus C9 and also how bad specifically Impact has looked. I actually think Castle can crush Impact in lane. Castle's had a couple of rough lane phases, but I think that he'll get one really good one, especially if it gets a good matchup versus Impact, and that can just snowball into a Disguised win. So
that's valid.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Also, weirdly enough, Jan, I still think he's a really good AD carry. His stats this year, and I know, like, I never want to put too much, like, weight on stats. They have not been great for an 80 carry. Like, his damage percentage and damage per minute, some of the lowest in the league right now. I think he actually is last place in damage per minute right now, which is like, how did that happen? Like, what's going on? They're still winning games, but like, Jan just isn't doing as much in those wins. So I feel like usually I would say, oh, Jan just blows out Scary Jerry, no contest. But because he hasn't been doing as much in games, I think that like, DSG can win through top lane at least a game. Team Liquid should still take the series, though.
Forgive me if I'm wrong. He's not skirmishing a whole lot early on in the games, right? Like, as far as I've seen.
No. Yeah.
So I think that's going to drag his numbers down a little bit. I mean, at least when it comes to DPM and like maybe even damage percentage, because like, you take a look at a guy like APA and like even Impact is like always fighting. Those guys are always fighting, or APA is always on like a poke oriented champion where he'll get like a lot of lane damage out. Whereas like Jan won't, so like maybe that's skewing it. I'd have to actually go like take a hard look. And to be honest, I'm a play-by-play caster. I'm not taking a hard look at that. That's for the fair color casters.
I think it's a little bit of twofold. Team Liquid have the fastest game time average, so the longer a game goes, the higher damage per minute an AD carry typically will have. Because late game, you're doing more damage.
No.
I know, right? It's crazy to think about it. If you're five items, you're gonna really ramp up that damage per minute.
I'll take my Doran's Blade.
Also, there's games like the Lion Game 1 where Jan was just hard targeted, so he's just gray screened half the game. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it can be a lot of factors that contribute to that, but in general, we just haven't seen that same Jan is solo carrying Team Liquid to wins that we did in Split 1. So
I suppose that's a good thing.
But day two, on Sunday, we have C9 versus Lion kicking things off from Group A. We all have C9 with a 2-0. Despite Lion improving week over week, C9 are still C9. And then closing things out, 100 Thieves versus Dignitas. We all have 100 Thieves 2-0. God, we just really have some lopsided matchups this weekend. Mm-hmm. That's going to be tough.
Every matchup right is top 4 versus bottom 4.
Yeah, across the board, which, a reminder, we're still keeping track of from the broadcast side. And only one bottom four team has picked up a single game win against the top four team that was still disguised versus Team Liquid. Another reason why I have them taking a game in their series, because we already saw them beat TL once. and again, it was through their top TL's top lane really struggling. So
TL revenge game.
TL revenge game. TL revenge tour for sure. But there we have it. That's LTA North. That was pretty fast. Wow. Now it's time to hop across the pond and take a look at a region that had, thankfully, because LTA North had a couple of stinkers, a region that had some bangers. We had LEC. If you did not check out LEC games this weekend, highly recommend that you fix that, because first off, it was the first road trip. There's going to be two road trips. Also, 2 weeks from now, the last week of regular season will be in France, hosted by KC. This last one was hosted by Koi. And that live crowd of 10,000 fans was incredible. The tech delays were not. Those sucked. But the crowd still brought the energy and was awesome. And oh my God, we had a lot of upsets. We're not going to talk about KC because they didn't even play this weekend. They're still technically holding first place, but we will talk about Fnatic. Yanni, kick us off. How did Fnatic's weekend look playing live in front of the crowd?
Oh man, dude, this was awesome, really. So they played against Koi, and the craziness started right away from game one, right? When Oscar Renan picked Warwick top, and El Yoya got really, really big at the start of the game, and it's crazy because he got so big, and then at 20 minutes, this game is dead even. And then Fnatic just wins a fight. Upset just, like, goes crazy. And then, like, on the other side, Supa hits a blast plant and kills his teammates.
Oh, God. He hits a blast plant, and then everyone bounces into the Taliyah seismic, or the Unraveled Earth. It's like, oh, no.
Yup. And then the Fnatic's in the driver's seat from there. But you asked me how the weekend was. They end up losing this series, even though they won that first game, right? El Yoya got another early lead. This time it was on Sejuani. Mirwin's winning his 1v1s up top. You know, Koi have a nice little lead at 16 minutes. And then, like, JoJo starts a really, really good fight. They have a nice sequence where you get two kills. They take top tier 2 with Herald. Then they get Otacon and get a little, and then a kill and take bot tier two. And Fnatic was too far behind Oscar and just goes for a flank TP. The timing was so bad. Koi gets some kills, take the Baron, take two mid turrets, game's over. And then in game three, Fnatic came out swinging. Razor got two kills, Oscar Renan got a kill, and then the game was just kind of boring for a while. Humanoid picked up a kill here and there, Mir went on Gwen, got a kill here and there. And then at 28 minutes, when Fnatic's on Soul Point, they lose the mid fight. Elioya and Mirwin went insane to just like keep this one salvaged. So like big credit to them, because yeah, that fight would have this game would have been over at that point. So you know, Fnatic then on the ensuing once teams reset, get a pick, start the Baron, take it, lose two members. Koi gets the next three Drakes. They even it up. Like, this game starts getting really, really wild at this point, where it's like, oh, we have one pick here, one pick there. We're going to reset. We're going to take the Baron. Oh, we're going to defend against the Baron. Oh, you know, we're going to take Infernal Souls, Koi, right? And then, like, but then, but no, I'm sorry, Fnatic took Infernal Soul, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And like, the game seems impossible, but like, Mirwin just goes in dry on Gwen, right, and gets a kill by just dashing forward with, like, no CC, manages to pick off Mickey X, right? And it's like, okay, like, it's all right, they're starting to gain some control. You get the map control, you get Baron, then Elder comes up, JoJo's dead for this Baron fight, or this Elder fight. Supa steals the Elder. He secures the Elder.
With just one random auto, just gets it.
Yep. It's so crazy. And like, this is so crazy. Koi ends up getting two inhibitors off of it. By the way, this is a 53-minute banger. And then Koi mispositioned themselves to Fnatic's all in their base. And they can't end. And then,
dude, and then that Koi, Nexus Koi, was literally one auto so away crazy from dying. Humanoid flashes towards the fountain. And then gets rooted up and then is, like, closer to Mirwin, who then takes him out. It's like, if a Humanoid flashes up instead of down, they win the game.
Yeah.
And that is the reason that, like, this, with the Way of Koi, like,
one
that
auto
was
attack.
Fucking insane.
One auto attack away from killing the Nexus with
yep,
the double
TP. Yeah, and I even saw people on Twitter being like, because he teleported in, it's like, if he had just sold boots and picked up Lich Bane, he wins. Like that's one of those moments where he had the gold in the inventory, because it was such a long game that, like, Humanoid literally just kind of inted the very end. It's like, oh, no.
Couldn't get it across the finish line. Fumbled the bag at the one-yard line.
The fact that this is a stadium game, you hear the crowd erupt as soon as they don't kill the Nexus, because Koi is the home team, in a sense. The place goes wild.
So as far that as was, before we really get into like other series, as far as regular season series go, this has to be like one of the greatest ones ever, right?
I think the crowd made it so, but also that end of game three made it so. Like, what a crazy way to close out the best of three that's hosted for the first time ever on one of these road shows. But yeah, I would definitely rank it up there. I think it's incredible. You hear crowds pop like that for playoff finals, typically.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, but for a regular season game, that was crazy. So, yeah, and then Fnatic did at least have a good end of their weekend.
They did.
They played G2, the El Clasico, and that one did go their way.
Yeah, it did, right? I mean, it's crazy, because in game one, like, it was bad. Like, Fnatic
it was bad.
Dive Broken Blade 5v1. And go one for one. Like, yep. That
dude, Broken Blade had a crazy good game one.
Oh, yeah. He played so good. I mean, pre-10 minutes, this is an absolute rout. Like, 10.5 minutes in, G2 take the first turret. They're up 3,500 gold at 10 minutes and 30 seconds into the game. If you're in flex queue, this is an immediate FF. One of your friends is probably disconnecting from the game because they're like, get me the fuck out of here. But it was that bad. Like, I'm so surprised that Fnatic cleansed that out of their system, because I mean, in game two, like, it's kind of crazy how this ended up happening, but like, Hansom and Labrov win a 2v2 against Oscar and Mickey X. So your Kaisers gets a lead. And then all of a sudden, Fnatic just start winning. Like, they win a fight top and bottom at the same time. Then they win another fight topside. And then, like, less than 20 minutes in, they're up, like, 5k gold. And they're just winning these fights. Mickey X is going crazy on Nico. They take a really quick Baron at, like, 26 minutes. And then immediately win a fight and just end this game. And then, dude, in game three, Mickey X sets the tone.
Yeah, no, I even think in game two he did. Like, Mickey, that was some of the best Nico engages I've ever seen in game two.
So good. From Mickey. I think the top lane one where they go three for nothing and he gets two people with his Pop Blossom, but then the Tangle Barbs gets all three of them afterward is just like so crazy. But game three, the tone setter by flashing on top of this misfortune, forcing the flash out of Hansama and then predicting that flash with the hook. It was just, that's how you knew it's like, oh, Fnatic is like not losing this game. Razor immediately gets a kill and just starts making a ton of plays. Upset gets huge. And pretty much Fnatic is winning every fight 2-for-1. They're just 2-for-1-ing every single fight, every single fight. Credit to G2 for keeping themselves in it. But when it comes to Soul Point, finally G2 get their fight, layering Zyra ultimate, Misfortune ultimate. They're just a little too far behind. They don't actually get any kills. They get them down like 200 HP. Fnatic win the fight, take the Soul, take the Baron, take the inhib, get a pick mid, take the game. It was real domination from start to finish. And they just were able to outlast G2 in that third game. And, you know, we'll talk about it in a little bit, but G2, not looking so
great.
They
went 0-2. They went 0-freaking-2, dude.
G-0-2.
That's a good one. It's a good one. Caps was trying a lot of stuff mid lane. They worked with the Jace, but then that Gragas in game three just wasn't enough. Like, they just didn't have damage. With Hansama and Skewmon falling so far behind, and Broken Blade also falling so far behind, it's like, Caps was playing all right, but it was just kind of over at that point, especially with Humanoid on the A Soul. That was a really fun counter pick that he pulled out yet again. So Fnatic stepped up and yet again proved they can beat G2 in a regular season game when it doesn't matter. Can they take them down in playoffs now? It's going to be the question that is yet to be answered. But overall, middling weekend for Fnatic. One win, one loss, but they still are at the top of the table at 5-2 series score. We talked a little bit about Koi's weekend with Fnatic, but they also had a series against GX. Bickle, talk to me about the M Koi roster that was hosting as well this past weekend that was able to at least close it out with a win.
Yeah, Koi.
Two wins. Yeah. They had a really good weekend.
Yeah, Koi was really feeling themselves this weekend being the home team, and they were able to bring both series home, both competitive 2-1s. But they were able to clean it out. We've talked about the chaos that was that Fnatic series with the absolutely historic game ender there. But then they played against GiantX, which coming in we thought was going to be rather one-sided. And watching game one, it was rather one-sided. Game two, though, was a different story, as it was also kind of one-sided, just the other way.
It was bad. It was bad.
Dude, Yzma's odd goddamn Nidalee. Like, how is Nidalee winning games in 2025? I don't understand,
because
man.
Because Nidalee is healing the AD carries.
It was definitely Jackie's Noah, but still.
Because Nidalee's healing these AD carries and giving them a billion attack speed.
Yeah.
And JoJo Pyun went 0-5. Like, tough.
Dude, sometimes JoJo has these games.
Yo, JoJo went crazy this series.
JoJo in two had different a directions, JoJo yes. Pyun weekend if I've ever seen one before.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you.
Oh, yeah.
It was,
and that led into game three, of course, which was the A-Soul. He was like, Humanoid, hold my beer. We're going to compete for this. Who's got the better A-Soul? And, JoJo looked pretty good. Yeah. All things considered, I think M-Koi are still the least, like, consistent of the top teams. Actually, maybe even KC as well. Like, neither of these teams close out series particularly clean. Has M-Koi even gotten a 2-0? I don't think they have. I think that they've lost a game in every single series that
they've
won.
They've played 7 series and they've played 18 games, so they had to have had a couple of that didn't go. That didn't go all three home.
Okay, maybe there, but either way, it's still looking like I want to see cleaner wins from them. I want to see cleaner games from JoJo Puyun in particular. But Supa, outside of that one, you know, quirky mishap that happened in the previous series where he autos the Blast Cone, I think has been playing very well. And Merwin got murked a little bit in that first series, but he's still playing pretty well and is playing more meta than we see Merwin do a lot of times. Other than like Aurora top is played, we've seen that. But like Rumble and Ambessa are like two of his most picked champions this weekend. So he's not pulling out the crazy stuff. He's just playing standard meta, and hey, it's working overall for McCoy. They did pick up two wins in front of the home crowd. So shout out to Koi. That brings us to let's just close out the teams that played in front of the audience the weekend. We have G2 as well. Badger. We already talked about their first series. Oh God, talk to me about their second series versus GX, and just in general, where we think G2 stands right now after a rough weekend.
I think the big thing for G2 is, I mean, we joked about it during the pre-show, but I think G2 in spring needs to be studied because for some reason, leading into MSI, this team just never is like hitting the ground running. It just feels like they're, you know, getting into the kitchen and cooking a little bit too much at times because you figure G2 versus GX. GX is kind of a bottom of the barrel team. Like, you would think, oh, G2 is going to come in. They're going to play really well. They're going to come in on Spanish soil and beat a Spanish organization. But no, like, Lod had a really good game in game one. Caps was kind of running it. Jackie's, the solo lanes of GX were controlling game one. I mean, then G2 had the classic, all right, shit, we lost game one. We need to kind of lock in at this point, guys, and then take care of business from there. And then game three, just, no. Jackie's had a game where it was the potential of Jackie's. Like, okay. I guess they
outside
rolled.
Outside of when he dies solo to Caps under mid lane because he flashes forward and isn't in auto range. That aside, he had a really good
you know,
game.
That's the it's the D20 effect of having Jackie's and Noah as your carries of just like, you could just roll ones at times. You never know when that's going to happen.
That was very funny. He did have a really good later play where he like gets over the walls, throws on Chaos Storm, pushes all G2 off, and then like Zonia's his Caps is ult, and that was like that was all that G2 could have done. If they picked Cap or Jackie's there, maybe they win it, but then like everyone else is able to chase him down and just run him out. I think that still with G2, what we're seeing is if Caps can't hard carry and Broken Blade has a rough game, it's just kind of like a cascading effect. Like I think there's kind of like a five-step process here where Lebrov looks bad when Skewmon looks bad. But it doesn't matter if Broken Blade looks good. But if Broken Blade looks bad, then Caps has to hard carry. And if Caps can't hard carry, G2 loses.
It's a flow chart.
Yeah. It's an odd little flow chart that I've noticed with G2.
So the real question is, was the Skewmon Lebrov move worth it at this point? I'm still indifferent about it if those two are actually upgrades to this team.
That's a good question. I don't know.
Because, like, you could just chalk this up to having a bad weekend, right? Like,
yeah.
It's not
these
weren't competitive series. They did go all three. Obviously, losing to Giant X is a bad look. But, like, you know, G2 coming into this weekend was, what, 3-1? And 6-3 overall in game score. Like, this could just end up being a blip, but this game three was. This game three gives me concern.
Yes.
Yeah. They threw a little bit. Like, they had a decent start.
A little bit.
Broken Blade was not able to hang in that side lane.
Kangas.
Past laning phase.
Kangas. Giant X activated their spell card Brain Control on G2.
Yes.
Brother. Because the 18 minutes in, G2's on Soul Point. Caps is 4-0 on Orianna. No way they can lose. Noah manages to secure the dragon, right? And for some reason, G2, after that, where they lost the dragon, hadn't even fight. They fight over nothing, and they lose the fight. And then when Baron comes up, they're like, guys, we could just do Baron. And June's just like, hi, I'm Poppy. Bye, Skumond.
Yeah.
And it's just like, there was no reason that they had to do that. They still had a lead. I just don't understand why they did that.
Yeah, they overforced a lot of things. I have heard the G2 were feeling a little under the weather that weekend with the travels.
I'd be sick,
who knows?
Too, if that shit happened to me.
Who knows how much of it was that. But either way, G2, cause for concern. I'm not hitting alarm bells, but cause for concern if they can turn things around. Rest of their strength of schedule, they got one weekend here in the LEC in Berlin, and then they got one more series in Berlin, and then two more in France. One of those is against KC with the KC home crowd. So that one's going to be very interesting. Banger alert, indeed. We already talked about GX through the lens of G2 and Koi, so props to them for at least picking up that win versus G2. It was cool to see them in front of their home crowd technically as well. But then there were two other series that happened on Monday. We got to see Team Heretics versus SK, and we got to see Vitality versus BDS. Bickle, there's not a ton to cover with Team Heretics SK, but Team Heretics was able to pick up the win. It was a swift 2-0, so any kind of like big thoughts or like overarching thoughts on if that gives extra stocks for them, because technically they're in a top four position right now.
They're not a top four team, but they're yeah, they're solidly competing for that top six. And unfortunately, I think this tells us what we already knew. SK is just not that good.
I hate it, man. I want Pukata and Kidui to do well.
Like,
but
after that week one win against Fnatic, it was so exciting, but I think that was just Fnatic being really bad.
Yeah. And personally, I still feel like Carlsen should be one of the worst top laners in the league, and the fact that he looked that good against JNX, I was like, oh, no. Uh-oh. So, yeah, I mean, Team Heretics at least got the win, but I agree that I don't think that they're actually going to be competing for a top spot. It really does feel like it's going to be like KC, Fnatic, Koi, G2 competing for the two MSI spots in my mind. Maybe BDS have a chance as well, as they lost to Vitality, so actually maybe not. That was a little surprising. I definitely also didn't expect that kind of performance from NakNakko. But also, I didn't really understand the drafting of BDS. Like, when you have a player like Ice, I want to see Ice on hard Giga carries. Game one, they tried a really weird thing where they went, like, full front-to-back team fight, but Ice on Ashe with a Pantheon. Neither of those things scale particularly well. And then, like, Nuke's on Azir, but then they have the Ornn and Seraphine. So I'm like, are we trying to, like, look for picks with Ashe Pantheon? Are we trying to, like, team fight with the Ornn, Azir, Seraphine? Like, I wasn't quite sure what the game plan was there. Then they were able to win the next one. Hey, guess what? Ice is on a carry that you can hard carry on with Corki. And then game three rolls around. And despite Ice getting ahead on the Varus and Nuke doing pretty well on the Tristana, they just got overconfident. They got like way too cocky and did not respect NakNakko on the Aatrox. We've seen a lot of really cool Aatrox flanks this past weekend between LTA North and LEC. And yeah, Team Vitality was able to pull that one out of their ass. So I still think the BDS like should be the better team. They should have won this series. They just got overconfident and did not respect their opponents. So yeah, that was LEC. There we go. A lot of fun games this past weekend. Again, shout out to the Spanish crowd. That was incredible. Amazing stuff from them. My series to watch, I think G2 Fnatic was, again, it's classic. I think that you should check it out, even though G2 lost. If you're a Fnatic fan, hey, good for you. And I also thought Koi Fnatic was pretty fun. Does anybody else have other shouts that they want for a series to watch from last weekend?
I think you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
Sweet. I love it when everyone agrees with me. Let's go. Let's talk about this coming weekend then. We got a couple predictions to get through before closing out the pod. Fnatic versus BDS kicks things off, and after BDS's loss to Vitality, we all have Fnatic taking it. I still think BDS is good for a game. I still have a lot of faith in Ice and Nuke as carries, but Fnatic should still take it. KC versus Rogue. Oh my god, Rogue are getting slaughtered. It's the top team versus the bottom team. Neither of these guys played last weekend, but expectation is still KC takes this. Then we have GX versus BDS on Sunday. Most of us think BDS a 2-1, but Yanni has GX with a 2-1. Yanni, any big reason why you have GX taking it?
You know what? I think GX are going to be riding a big high from last weekend.
Momentum and could play a big part of this.
And we expect BDS to lose. And you know, you have them taking a game, but I have them getting 2-0'd by Fnatic. Honestly, pretty soundly. I think Fnatic still looks really, really good. Because Fnatic was so close to having a 2-0 weekend, right? So that's why I'm just like, I think Giant X can absolutely win the series, especially since you guys all think it'll be 2-1 for BDS, which already means the series is close anyway.
I definitely think this one could go either
for
way.
Sure.
When Ice and Nuke are like playing at their highest potential, they're so good. So
they are.
Have some faith in them. G2 Vitality afterwards. You all have G2 like sheep. Vitality's taking this one, baby. Let's go. 2-1. G2 are washed. Caps is craps again. No, there's no way Vitality should win this, but I put it mostly for the memes. But if G2 are recovered from their travel sickness, there's no reason they should lose, but
they're going to be pissed.
I think it's funny if they have a losing streak, so I'm going to go Vitality.
They're going to be angry this weekend.
Angi G2, GO2, GO3, maybe?
Angi 2.
Then on Monday, we got two more series to close things off. It's Team Heretics versus Fnatic. We all have Fnatic taking a 2-0. And then MKOI versus SK. We all have MKOI taking it. Badger, I don't see a series score for you.
It's 2-0.
Yeah, 2-0. Yeah,
I feel like it's indicative at this point that I don't need to put like a series score on a KOI versus SK game, but like, yeah, let me just put it in real quick.
My listen, Kangas thinks they're going to take a game.
SK can get one, but yeah, MKOI should take it. Also, again, JoJo always has a bad game. So
you're right. He's got to have one bad game every weekend, and since that's the only series, that's the only series they play.
It's got to be in that series.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Oh, no.
We're mathing it out.
That's our expectations for the weekend. We're not all in agreement, but mostly in agreement on these series. But reminder that we had terrible prediction scores from this past weekend. A lot of that just being G2 underperforming. So let us know your thoughts if you agree or disagree heavily with any of our takes in the community Discord. A reminder, you can find a link in the description wherever you are listening. Bickle, if somebody listening had the time and the interest to leave a review, how many stars do you think they should leave us?
They should leave us the number of wins that both K-Corp and Fnatic currently possess in the LEC.
Ooh, and how many is that? I'm really bad at reading.
Well, you see, K-Corp didn't play this weekend, and Fnatic went 1-1, and that means they're both currently sitting with 5 wins.
Hey, okay, so 5 stars, that's what I'm hearing?
Absolutely.
Beautiful. If you could leave a 5-star review, everybody, wherever you are listening, it really helps us get noticed more and continue to bring you more and more League of Legends content. Again, apologies for the last week's episode going out a little late. This one, cross your fingers, everybody, knock on wood, should go out on time. I will not be on the LTA this coming weekend because I'm going to be traveling for a Yu-Gi-Oh! Tournament, but make sure to still support the NA broadcast and also go support LPL Unofficial. Yanni, you can catch him on there. Badger, what league are you playing in? Can we plug that one? I don't think
it's,
we've ever played that
just
before.
It's just Blue Otter League, Plat League.
Blue Otter League, Plat League. Is that just Blue Otter 2 on Twitch? I think it's like
it's
their
Blue
second
Otter
account.
It's Blue Otter 1 whenever
they
play.
It's Blue Otter 1, okay.
But my team hasn't been streamed yet all season, so.
But
that means you're going to stream
when they
too,
are
right?
streamed, throw it in the Discord so
I
people
will,
can go watch you.
I will
you.
Do that. So they can watch my boosted support ass playing the game.
Hell yeah. But still happy that you're able to hop on tonight despite having games earlier. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you can walk away with one message after all of this, it's that we love you, and we'll see you next time.
Peace.
Bye, everyone.
We'll be right back.